We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Go inside the world of an NCAA Division I athletics program. This is In the Bullseye with University at Buffalo Athletic Director Mark Allnut. Here's the voice of the Bulls, Paul Peck.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to this In the Bullseye podcast. I'm Paul Peck with the University at Buffalo Athletic Director Mark Allnut, and obviously from both of us to everyone that's listening, we hope you're staying safe and healthy and handling things the proper way as we're in the midst of this unprecedented event in all of our lives, Mark, and beyond just the impact it's had on the sports world and the University at Buffalo athletic world. This is something that none of us have ever lived through or ever thought we would live through. How are you handling it?
Yeah, exactly right. Just to reiterate, obviously we're doing this remotely to let our folks out there who are listening to this, about it. I'm at one place, you're at one place, but just a different way of operating. Something that we've never experienced in our lifetime. A lot of us out there, you and I remember 9/11 and the events surrounding that and the time period after that tragic event happened in terms of how that changed, the way we live. And, with this coronavirus, COVID-19 pandemic and how it's ever evolving. And, we'll go in and discuss more in detail just the timeline leading up to this point we are right now. In terms of how this happened, and obviously just a new way of operating, so it does impact so much more than athletics. But obviously, we'll talk and discuss more what we're doing on our end from athletics department, mainly how we're supporting our student athletes, and then obviously what we're doing as we move forward. So again, as always, appreciate being on with you, Paul.
Yeah, sure. And again, just to reiterate, we do have the ability to do this remotely. That's why Mark's on the cell phone and I'm in the lavish Peck basement studio here out in Hamburg, bringing all this to you. So we know the campus classes are, this was spring break week anyway. Anyway, we know classes have been essentially altered throughout the rest of the semester for online and whatever. What exactly, if anything, is still sort of operating in the alumni arena, University at Buffalo athletics world?
Yeah, sure. If you don't mind, Paul, let's just go back real quick and just so we can just give our listeners just a frame of reference in terms of how we got to the point now. So, we look back at last Monday, gosh, what was that? That would have been the 8th, I believe, Monday, March 8th, in terms of us, you know, hosting a doubleheader for men's and women's basketball. You know, the opportunity for the play-in game to advance on to Cleveland. And, you know, I'm very pleased in terms of, you know, the folks who came to Alumni Arena that night. Obviously, don't have to revisit history, but, you know, women's team, you know, had a win, and the men, you know, they suffered defeat. So, you know, after that game on Tuesday, you know, we were planning to you know, move forward to Cleveland. Actually, the women's team, they actually left to head to Cleveland that night after their victory. I was planning to go to Cleveland, get there, you know, by their dinner time on Tuesday. You know, always, if I have that opportunity, always enjoy, you know, sitting down for our coaches and our student athletes and having dinner with them. But, you know, what happened was, there was the governor of Ohio came out, and because of this pandemic, and even that day it was classified as a pandemic, you know, came out and wanted to, and actually decreed, so to speak, that no public gatherings over, you know, over no large public gap. It really was no definition to it, but really wanted to eliminate large public gatherings, have a firm grip on the number of people that might be at public gatherings. This included athletic events as well. So, you know, once that came out, we got on a conference call, which was pushed back a couple times that day. And this is a Tuesday that I'm talking about, with our commissioner, to really realize what this meant and how we're going to move forward. So what came out of that conference call in terms of, you know, having conversations with the governor's office, having conversations with the city and county health officials in Cleveland, the Cleveland Cavalier folks, the folks at Rocket Mortgage Center, you know, a determination made that the tournament was going to continue. But it was going to be, it's going to continue on a limited spectator atmosphere, which essentially was each program was limited to 120 passes per game. So we had to communicate that out that Tuesday evening, and just to let all the institutions know, hey, this is a process, no fans. As you can imagine, I mean, there's a lot of diehard fans for our women's basketball program. There was some disappointment, you know, at first. And again, even at that point, Paul, I mean, really not having a firm idea of just the gravity of the situation right now. So, you know what, we were able to accommodate, you know, the player family members there. And that was our plan moving forward. Wednesday comes around, and I finally get to Cleveland Tuesday night, late Tuesday night. Wednesday comes around, and our governor, you know, comes out with the mandate that all institutions of higher learning in SUNY and CUNY are going to be shut down. And what that really meant was that caused some confusion, but essentially what that meant was transitioning to an online model, you know. It wasn't until Wednesday evening where, you know, Dr. Tripathi, Scott Weber, our provost, came out and messaged the university community, what exactly did it mean for UB? Which essentially, no, we're not shutting the doors. We're still going to be in normal operation. Our dorms are going to still be open. Our dining facilities will still be opening. What we're going to do is we're just going to work on transitioning to online learning when we come back from spring break. So that was the plan moving forward. You know, obviously, as a member of the cabinet here at the university, you know, we were having discussions, you know, about the coronavirus and, you know, kind of the what-if scenarios, this happened, you know, what have you, how we're going to execute that. So, you know, it's something that we were thinking about, but after the governor mandated that on Wednesday, you know, we knew we were going forward with an online learning model, but still, at that time, it was under the premise of normal operating university, you know, we're going to try to limit, you know, gatherings at the university, so on and so forth. Well, when it all changed, Paul, as no surprise to you, was that Wednesday night, after our game against Kent State, there was news about the Oklahoma Thunder and Utah Jazz game was suspended, like right before tip. You know, there was, everyone had questions in terms of why it was suspended. Well, further came out that Rudy Gobert, one of the Utah Jazz players, tested positive for the coronavirus. And at that point in time, the NBA acted swiftly and decided to suspend their operations. So now
that changed everything, didn't it? That decision in that moment, I think, is the one you can trace almost everything back to.
You definitely can, because even before that moment there, you know, there was conversations, because again, various state governments, you know, the president was finally coming out with statements. So, you know, even from an NCAA standpoint, the stance was, you know, through Wednesday night, leading into Thursday, that, hey, we're going to continue to host our championships. When I say championships, you know, not just March Madness, which is obviously the focal point from NCAA standpoint, but, you know, we had a wrestling championship that was going to happen this weekend, actually. You know, we were going to have a track and field was having a championship last weekend. So, you know, from that model, they were going to stay consistent in terms of what we were doing with our basketball tournament. Hey, be able to hold this championship, but, you know, we're going to limit the spectators. So you move forward to a Thursday, and, you know, we're meeting as athletic directors with our commissioner, with the Rocket Mortgage Center, and just really getting advice, you know, from again, the county health officials, the state health officials in Ohio. And, you know, as we move forward with this, you know what, we knew the direction it was going. We were one of the first conferences to cancel, you know, our basketball tournament. Others fell suit. And I want to say the last game was played, you know, sometime that Thursday, late Thursday afternoon, evening, by one of the conferences. But at that time, you know, all the conferences were essentially, they shut down their championships. And then that Thursday afternoon, there was a Board of Governors call, NCAA Board of Governors call, where they made the decision. It was at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, because we got the word at around 4, that when they made the decision to essentially cease and end all championships from the winter and spring sport standpoint. So, you know, once the NCAA did that, then that triggered another kind of a snowball effect there, where our conferences, along with several others, decided, hey, it's just not the basketball tournament we're canceling. You know, if the NCAA is not having the spring championship, and again, we're learning more and more about this pandemic in terms of, you know, these terms, in terms of, you know, hygiene, you know, social spacing, you know, all these buzzwords that were coming out, we determined that we needed to follow suit as well and cancel our spring season.
Yeah, I know that's been very difficult and painful for a lot of those athletes, and even, you know, some of the athletes, like, you know, for instance, that UB, a Troy Keller, as a senior, had a chance to go to the NCAAs. Yeah. How have you had a chance to talk to any of them? Have you, what have been some of those conversations? What have you said to those athletes? And I know there are some pending ideas about additional eligibility and things like that that are sort of still to be worked out, but just on the human side of it, and again, I think we all, and even those athletes, understand what we're in the middle of. But how have you handled that? How have those conversations been?
I mean, you said it. I mean, obviously, moving forward, you know, you have to be human, and there is a great amount of disappointment. Because, again, I mean, how this evolved so quickly over a five-day period to where it is right now. I mean, you really didn't have time to really reflect and completely understand. But, you know, now how we're operating now, there is a sense of understanding, but also there's that disappointment, which, you know what, everyone, you know, they need to share within that disappointment. You know, I'm disappointed not just for the Troy Kellers of the world, but for our coaches and our support staff, you know, that spent so much time in terms of helping Troy Keller, you know, get to the point where he had a chance to wrestle in the championships. I mean, there's a lot of time lost, so to speak. But, you know, as you move forward and understand again, you know, the situation that we're in, I mean, it was definitely the right decision. And it's one of those that, yes, there'll always be disappointment. There always will be the what if. But, you know, when you truly reflect back on this, I mean, it was definitely the right decision. So, you know, as we move forward from, you know, figuring out what direction the NCAA is going to go from an eligibility standpoint, is it the spring student athletes, you know, being able to recapture their senior year, or the winter student athletes, you know, part of that, we don't know yet. And we'll see. And then, you know, obviously from a UB standpoint, you know, we need to fully understand what that looks like, how many of our student athletes are going to take advantage of that, and, you know, how does that impact recruiting? So, yeah, it's been those conversations that have been, you know, difficult. And the other thing, too, is you know, putting together communication plans with our coaches, you know, updating them on a daily basis, you know, being able to, you know, share with them any new updates, any new ideas, thoughts, rules and regulations that surround this, because it is a different way of operating. And then most importantly, making sure that they're taking care of themselves, mm-hmm. their loved ones, and that they're, you know, staying healthy, you know, staying safe and following the proper protocols. And also too, you know, being able to support their student athletes now in a different way in terms of how we're learning. I mean, how we're learning as we go on, because, you know, there's so much to take in here, but, you know, the encouragement to, you know, make that phone call, you know, reach out to them in the various channels and just be able to check in on them.
Yeah, I just mentioned, you know, right before we started, as we record this here on Thursday, I happened to see a tweet from Chris Simpson, your co-defensive coordinator and linebackers coach on the football team, had said he had just gone through the process of reaching out to the players and families of all of his position group just to talk to them and make sure everybody was okay. Is that a little bit of what you've said to all of your coaches, just to try to make sure to keep the contact going?
Yeah, exactly right. Because again, everyone's going to have questions. I mean, not just the student athlete, but the parents. So, you know, where we stand right now for athletic department, and this is consistent with a lot of our peers, not just in the MAC, but around the nation. And you're seeing also professional franchises do this. So, you know, our facilities are closed. When I say our facilities, hey, the Murphy Family Fieldhouse, you know, our weight rooms, you know, our gym. And again, a lot of this is from, you know, protocol that's been established, you know, by our government in terms of limiting the spread, you know, of this virus. So, you know, we had to follow suit. So, you know, for us, it's the opportunity to convey that again to our coaches, and also for them to convey that to our student athletes, that, as I mentioned earlier, essentially what is still operating now is just the learning model. Mm-hmm. Now, again, it's a remote model that, you know, our professors and faculty members are establishing, and that education is going to begin on Monday. So, you know, we need to make sure from an academic support standpoint that, you know, we're taking care of our kids, you know, still trying to find ways to support them as they matriculate towards their degree. And again, just going back to that human aspect of it too, Paul, you know, it really hit close to home. As you know, I have a son. My oldest son is a student athlete, you know, a freshman down at SEMO, Southeast mm-hmm. Missouri State. And, you know, for us, I mean, he was like so many students, you know, out there. I mean, he was planning on going to spring break and hanging out, you know, back in Kansas City, Missouri, where we have some family there. But like once this happened, you know, for us, not really having, you know, we still don't have a clear definition of how long this is going to last. You know what? We made the effort to make sure he came here to Buffalo.
Right.
So that he was with us, and, you know, the school right now is converting over to online learning situation. Athletics has been postponed. So, you know, we just wanted to make sure he wasn't stranded someplace, that he was, you know, home with us. And again, I think that's that human side of things, but that's also the parent, with all of us are parents, and just understanding that, hey, this is going to be our focus, you know, making first and foremost that, you know, our kids are safe.
You're getting a very interesting perspective on it as an administrator responsible for all of your University at Buffalo athletes, but also as a dad responsible for your son. I think that that's probably helping you through this. So the question is that we all have in all walks of our life is when are we going to get back to normal? And unfortunately, that's a hard answer to find right now. And obviously, I know that you and everybody at UB and all the coaches are focused on the immediacy of their family, but coaches are coaches and they're thinking ahead to their seasons and so forth. So what if any advice or discussions has there been about how to be ready for when we all get back to normal, whenever that may be? You know, summer is a big recruiting time for a lot of your coaches. So how are you handling some of those very, you know, obscure what ifs right now?
No, you know, we're playing this in the entire gamut of what ifs. You know, as of right now, the NCAA has come in just from a recruiting standpoint, as you mentioned. So the NCAA has come in and right now there's a dead period through April 15th, and the folks out there that don't quite know what the dead period is, you know, our coaches can't go out recruiting, and you know, prospective student athletes can't come to campus either on an official visit standpoint or unofficial visit standpoint. So we can't offer scholarships during this time. So everyone's pretty much on a level playing field. Now, you know, as we move forward through that, you know, we should have an idea in terms of how this is trending, if that curve, as we hear so much, is flattening.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if it's safe for folks to go out. Because again, the main point of all this is we don't want to continue the spread of this virus. And hey, I'm competitive. I want to make sure we bring in the top recruits as the next person. But also the same token, you know what? I don't want to send our coaches out on a plane somewhere to a particular hot spot and they have a chance to get it and bring it back to Buffalo and, you know, have the opportunity to, you know, have it spread within their families and everything else. So I think first and foremost, which everyone understands, is, you know, we need to be safe, you know, and we also need to be thoughtful in terms of how we move forward, you know, from a competitive standpoint too, where, as I mentioned, that, you know, our facilities shut down as consistent with a lot of our peers. You know, the focus clearly is, you know, on academics for our kids,
right,
and how we're going to be able to support them. Now, if you just look at it from a football standpoint, I know there's a lot of coaches out there that are envious of Lance because, you know, he got nine practices, you know.
Yes.
And there's a lot of programs out there that hadn't even started this spring ball. So, you know, for us.
And this is the first year that he has started spring practice that early, is it not?
Yeah, no, exactly right. And a lot of that was, you know, again, you talk about a benefit of having the Murphy Family Fieldhouse to where, you know, we have that opportunity to go early, have more of a consistent basis, and also getting some advice from Matt Gildersleeve, too, that felt, you know, in terms of the development of student-athletes was going to be post-spring ball. Now, unfortunately, we don't have that because, you know, we're not allowed to have that activity right now. But what I'm getting at is this. You know, we have a, you know, there's plans in place to, okay, hey, when this is lifted, you know, we have this opportunity to go out on the road, be able to do this. I mean, one prime example of that, Paul, is when you talk about the summer recruiting period is our camps. You know, as of right now, you know what, our camps are not being affected. But as we move forward and we're able to look, you know, 6 weeks out on this, 8 weeks out in particular, you know, we're gonna have more of an idea if we need to pull camps or anything else. And then a lot of it is too is us as a membership from an NCAA standpoint. You know, what are we going to do? You know, there's some talk about, well, hey, if this does flatten the curve by May 1st, are we allowing institutions to you know, practice again? Are we allowing institutions to start and then conclude spring ball? Is it going to go into the summer? You know, I don't really have those thoughts, you know, right now and what that plan might be, but that's definitely going to be the discussion. You know, one thing to really understand here and even from an athletic standpoint, as a lot of folks are suffering from an economic standpoint, you know, not having NCAA tournaments, you know, that's some revenue that's going to be missed, you know, for a lot of institutions. And then again, as we plan ahead, you know, for what an athletic event might look like, you know, next fall, next winter. I mean, I'm, you know, the many nights that I kind of wake up at night thinking about these things because of what we're in right now.
How much different is everything going to be?
Yeah, because you harken back to 9/11 to where, you know, you remember how many, you know, how life changed afterwards. Now, will that affect, you know, moving forward, you know, what a sporting event look like? You know, will there be limits, you know, based again on social distancing, on you know, how many people can be in the Gustavus Club, you know, for example. So, you know, we got to think about those things and just be ready to respond. But, you know, we can't be reactive. You know, we have to really be thinking about it, and when these, whatever it might be, guidelines come out, there's new guidelines, or if people are still kind of uneasy, so to speak, about going to large gatherings, even sporting them, and they feel like it's better to watch on the ESPN Plus or on television, whatever the case is. You know what? What are some different ways that we need to be able to, you know, attract people to our game?
Right. Well, Mark, appreciate the update on a lot of things here. You know, again, uncharted territories for all of us in our lives and in the athletic world that we enjoy so much. And we'll get back to having athletics and sports be part of the releases of our life, hopefully soon enough. And as we move forward on this, however long this may last, we'll keep checking in, because I'm curious to, you know, continue to get updates from you as you get them from the NCAA and from the MAC, and then maybe, you know, just to help everybody get through all this, maybe we'll drift off and have a little fun on some of these as well too. And I know there's some things in the works from the outstanding athletic communications guys at UB to you know, try to have a little fun and make sure everybody remembers some of the cool things that have happened with UB you know, within the last 10 years and even longer than that. So you know, any suggestions you have on some fun, cool ideas, we're always looking for them.
Yeah, we'll have plenty, Paul. And again, always appreciate you and the job that you're doing, and looking forward to our next podcast.
All right, so that's Mark Allnut. He is University at Buffalo Director of Athletics with an update on where everything is at right now with UB. And again, we'll continue to check in with Mark and find out all of this. Mark, stay safe. Keep the kids occupied. Keep your son working out. All that stuff that everybody's figuring out right now. Good luck with all of that as well.
Hey, Paul, you too, buddy. Thank you.
All right. Mark Allnut, our Director of Athletics here at UB. Again, stay with us here. We'll periodically bring more in the Bullseye podcast. We'll start to talk to some of the coaches about how they're getting their way through this, and maybe some current, present, former athletes as well, too. Stay with the University at Buffalo and UBBulls.com for all the latest. We thank Mark, and we thank you for joining us on this edition of the In the Bullseye podcast.
For more information on the athletics program at the University of Buffalo, visit ubbulls.com/podcast. This has been In the Bullseye, a proud presentation of Bulls Digital.